And we are live, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Crypto Gaming Institute podcast. My name is Ben, and today we have the one, the only, the legendary KP5. What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm good, bro. How are you?
Dude, I'm so good.
Good. Man. Stoked to be here.
I'm so stoked that you're here. It is so cool because you're literally like pro gamer. You've been in the scene. You know how it is. Like, you have lived in this world, and the crypto game, like the crypto gaming space, the crypto gaming has been here for a while, but like the gaming side of it, it's a totally new frontier. And the intersection of that is such a fascinating freaking thing. I'm so glad that we get to chat today. So we really want to jump in here and just hear from you. Just get some background. Like, what's your story?
For sure. I guess I jumped into NFTs and crypto and things of the sort because I saw like the actual gaming potential behind it. And then I also saw just like the cultural shifts, right? You had the whole COVID situation happen. Like, everything got pushed to remote and got pushed to digital life. And like, I was just able to see this. Like I told you, I jumped on one evening. I took 3 hours to learn with two of my buddies that had been actively trading NFTs for a few months and had been in crypto for years. And once I understood like the technology behind the smart contracts, and then I realized like what you could do with them, it was like, wow. Like it was like a connection in my head, and I was like, there is no way that this is not the biggest thing in our future, without a doubt. And like, I've always liked to kind of jump on things early. Like, I jumped in competitive video gaming when I was like 15, I think, like 2007-ish. I started doing like game battles, MLG. 2008, MLG Orlando. So like, went to LAN events to compete. Before that, I played RuneScape. I was a kid growing up playing RuneScape. So I guess like all the different games, different genres, different things in life that I spent time on, I noticed it all kind of coming together with this like mainstream NFT craze, crazy bull run. Like, it's getting so much exposure. Every $1 billion company is trying to jump in and trying to like talk to these people that are just like straight memeing 24/7, and they're sitting here brokering $20 million business deals with like Fortune 500 companies. And I'm sitting here watching this all unfold, and I was like, this is the type of shit that I like. So I was like, I'm going to jump in, man. So yeah, I've been an internet kid my entire life. And I've always loved technology. I worked in software for a bit, did some coding. I did, as you mentioned, the professional video gaming content creation. I was on Twitch before Twitch was Twitch. I did stream on Justin TV back in 2011. And then I got back into it in 2015. And then from 2015 up to probably like the last year and a half or so, I took Twitch streaming gaming seriously, signed a tier one organization, Counter Logic Gaming. Shout out CLG. Super amazing organization, by the way. I played professionally in Fortnite, lived in Los Angeles, and did the full team house. I literally grew up watching YouTube, watching the FaZe guys, like saying like, that's going to be, you know, that's awesome. Like, I would love to do that. Right. Like, everyone looks at that lifestyle and they're like, yo, that's cool, man. Like, play video games, be professional, make money. Right. Like, that's the dream. And then I got to that point, and, it was definitely a crazy experience. I took a step back for a while just because I was kind of burnt from gaming and streaming, and, I kind of needed to find something else that I could like put passion into or find a passion in. And then so when I stumbled upon NFTs and DeFi and then just crypto gaming, I was like, holy shit, here we are. Let's go. You know, this is literally what I've been prepping for my entire life.
Dude, I feel like that is such a powerful narrative that so many of us coming from gaming feel like. I mean, I know personally, I've been gaming since I was 6 years old, and like, I've been investing since I was 16, started businesses since I was 20. So like, it feels like this is our moment. It feels like everything that has happened in the past has now led to this amazing thing in like crypto gaming. And it's like all of us kind of had this like light bulb go off all at the same time. So I'm curious, when it hit you, what part of it was so enticing? Like, what part of the technology, what part of the smart contracts, what part of this thing was really like, oh shit, I'm all in?
As soon as I realized all the use cases that the smart contracts would have, I think the main thing that clicked with me right away is this is a reason to invest into crypto now. Because in the past, people have just been following the bullish cycles and the bear cycles, and it's going up and down, and they're paying attention. They're maybe throwing $500 in on Coinbase or $1,000 on Coinbase. Mm-hmm. But what do they get to do? They just get to watch crypto go up, or they get to watch it go down. They're not really in there trading. They're not understanding the market. They don't know why it's really going up. They don't even know the reason for the technology behind it. I was one of those people. I messed around with cryptocurrency in 2017. Really still didn't even like understand the full like importance of the blockchain and like what it's accomplishing and what it's doing and cementing things in history, making things immutable. Like, I wasn't aware of any of that, right? So when I came into NFTs, I saw the smart contracts. I used to work doing like database analytics in SQL. So I worked with that coding language, and I looked at numbers, and like I always had to find small little discrepancies and things. Like, that was my job. So like looking at the NFT market, looking at small little bugs and exploits and contracts, or being able to follow major wallets, looking at, you know, Gary V or what his sister is doing, or what his brother is doing. Like, I was like, I looked at data and numbers all day long, and I was like, I get to put this together and like investigate it and then make money off of it. So like that was a turning point. The smart contracts and knowing that like there is no ceiling with code. You can literally do almost anything with code, and more and more people are actually starting to understand that. But then I just realized like the whole appeal of digital assets and the scarcity of those tokens, right? It's not necessarily the JPEG. It's about the message. It's about the community. It's about what they're trying to do. Different NFT projects, you know, have different caveats. Whereas, you know, you have the Bored Apes where they had a Bored Ape. They had really good aesthetic pictures, right? Like, and then they created one of the craziest movements in communities. And now they're like a hype beast brand that people want to be involved with. It's a flex. All the celebrities, all these people are in this tight-knit club. And guess what? There's only ever going to be 10,000 of those spots available. There's people paying $250K, $300K a year for a yacht club or a country club they never use once. There's stupid money to be thrown at this stuff. And there's a lot of people that have made a lot of internet money that they have nothing else better to do than throw it around and flex their digital ego. So like understanding like people's emotions and how they move with things and stuff like that too, I think is really important. And it makes you good with trading and like not getting attached to things and understanding like, hey man, I got to drop the emotions and like my attachment to this project or this community. Like, yes, it's been amazing, but there's a much better opportunity here and I got to swing out or something. Right. So, totally. So many different turning points. Sorry. I'm just kind of going off about it. I love talking about this stuff.
Me too. No, I'm glad. This is what we're here for, is to chat about it and just lay it all out there. So from the perspective of, you've been in the content creator role, you've been in the influencer role, you've been in the pro gamer role, you've been in this in a software role. So with all of those things, you have a really interesting perspective. And I'm kind of curious, I'm actually very curious as to like, how do you think about approaching this from the perspective of maximizing the amount of value that you can both create and capture? Because like, some people want to be traders, some people want to start projects, some people just want to like buy and hold stuff, some people want to do nothing and you know, just look at it. But like, from the perspective of trying to maximize the amount of value we can create and capture, what is your thought process on that, of like how to do that at the optimal level?
The way that I've approached it is I've looked at current problems, whether it's me not knowing something or something I see a lack thereof, and trying to figure out how I can take my past experiences and tie those together to find some sort of solution for that. So touching on the content creation role, I had made a tweet recently and I was just like, hey, there's a lot of terrible content out there like regarding NFTs and how to get involved in things and like how to mint from a contract. Like I have a friend that I've been trading with. He's made over $200,000 in NFTs in the last 3 months. This guy didn't know how to gas war correctly and sent 1.2 ETH for a transaction for Gary V's freaking NFT. And it's like, it doesn't matter if you're a beginner. Like, there's still people that don't understand how to do stuff. And there really isn't like that good of educational content out there. There's a lot of shilling and a lot of BS, and that's going to continue to come in, right? So it's like, how do you capitalize on such an early market in regards to that sort of content and getting it out there? how do you do it so you make it enjoyable? I've never been like a YouTuber. Like I have YouTube videos out there. I have subscribers, but like I never wanted to be a YouTuber or like an online personality. Sure. I was a gamer at heart. I pressed start streaming and I made money playing video games, right? Like I didn't make a lot of money. And that's we'll go back to that point too. Remind me in regards to like why gaming and NFTs and stuff is going to be so popular amongst everybody. But yeah, I'm losing my train of thought here. I apologize.
All good. We were talking about like there's not really a reliable source of information about how, and it seems like besides just a reliable source of information that's not just riddled with bias to the point where it's actually not usable for the average neutral consumer who's looking for just good, high quality, objective information.
For sure. And that is like one of the main things too, is there's just so many biased videos out there, so many biased takes and approaches where I get that. And I understand that. I would say a lot of the stuff that I've put out on Twitter alone and things that I've talked about or graphs, is stuff that I've been involved in, but there's also reasons why I'm getting involved in those. And like, I'm able to actually be biased because like there's understandings and information that flows all around the space. And if you know how to filter through the noise, you can actually see a really clear path on what some of these people and things are doing. And the easiest thing that a lot of people just look over is it's very easy to see who's getting involved with a project or who's already involved just based off of Twitter followings, right? Like, I think Twitter is going to absolutely destroy LinkedIn. And Twitter is a 100% my resume. It's my references. It is every... I've never had a LinkedIn. I think I created a LinkedIn profile, but I never did anything on there. Like, I went to college 2.5 months for cybersecurity, hated it, dropped out, got shunned from the family. Like, I dropped out to chase professional video gaming and esports, you know, and I did it. I proved them wrong. I proved myself right. It was cool. But I don't really have much of a history other than like what I've done myself or got myself involved in, except for my 2.5 year software job. Right. So social media in a whole, Twitter in a whole, I mean, it's literally almost everything you need when it comes to paying attention to who's involved in what, who's talking about what, who's following who, who's interacting with who. I mean, hey, we even have bots set up in our Discord where if there is a known figure in social media and they get a specific amount of follows from people within the NFT space, it'll alert us. So that way we can see when G-Funk or G-Money or these guys are following Adidas coming in or Nike or Converse or, you know, whatever brand it might be, right? Mm-hmm. So Twitter is such a heavy tool that people aren't using. And I think they need to start doing that.
I agree. I actually noticed that that Gary V follows you on Twitter. I mean, that's something that like that's way better than a LinkedIn where you talk about your own stuff. To have someone else follow you that has clout in addition to all of your own clout, like I think that's kind of what you're getting at, is like we can look at social signals from social media to see like where's the attention, who's getting into what, and that's very valuable in and of itself.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean I single-handedly, I think I like for the most part I hand pick or hand select like who I'm following on Twitter based off of who's following them. Like, who do I know that's following them? And it's like, well, why don't I know this person? Maybe I should pay attention to what this person says or what this person is doing, because this could be very important, right? But yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing, man, is literally I have the follows from like all the big names in the space, because I go back with a lot of those guys too, multiple years from being on Twitch, from playing video games. Obviously not Gary V in video games, but, you know, the gamers and the professionals that follow me. And you have obviously a lot of streamers and gamers that are getting into the space now. And you have bigger streamers and bigger gamers that have kind of started advertising some sort of NFT stuff to their audience. So those guys are coming in. So like, that's also like a huge audience that is already kind of in my demographic. They just don't really necessarily know who I am, because I didn't play League of Legends or I didn't play PUBG that, you know, that often or whatever, right? They'll come in, they see who's following me. They're like, oh yeah, I'm going to follow this guy, right? And it's a snowball effect. That's how social media it is. I think it's kind of silly too, to be honest. Like, I'll be brutal. I hate social media with a passion. Yeah. And the only reason why I'm on it is because I have to use it.
it's a tool. It's a business tool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Totally.
I think it is toxic. I think it's terrible. And there needs to become some sort of balance. But other than that, yeah, it's a great tool and people need to use it.
Absolutely. So we talked a little bit about creating and capturing value in this new space and how you would kind of optimize doing that. And we went down the rabbit hole of content creation. Are there any other avenues you want to touch on in regards to still answering that first question?
Yeah, for sure. I've been behind the scenes. I started working on a little company called Meta Advisors. And this was kind of put into place to guide brands and influencers into the space. My expertise would be esports organizations and streamers or YouTubers and kind of understanding their audiences, what kind of utility they could offer to their project collectors if they do decide they want to add utility. I have noticed some Twitch streamers coming in, and some of them actually been doing a really good job of like the way that they approach the space, and they're respectful and things of the sort. And like, that's the other thing too, is there's going to be a lot of cash grabs and stuff coming in, right? And there's going to be a lot of big streamers that just might come in, pump their bags, and then get out. And it's going to be a bad image. And it's like, if we can have more things in place to like onboard them and have them come on and do it like in an ethical way and actually build it out and like create something, there are so many different communities from Twitch alone or from YouTube alone that could come into this space. And, you know, instead of paying $5 a month for a sub and like, that's it, you get some emotes. Well, guess what? Now you can pay $200 for a one-of-one membership card or whatever it is to the streamer. But now this is coming with guaranteed utility of like, you get to play viewer games, or like if at conventions, they'll do a meetup together, like a big dinner or a big little private party or whatever. And then that's how people are going to connect with other communities and like other gamers and stuff, because like, oh, you got MFAM NFT. Like, I have an MFAM NFT too. Like, hello, I can almost guarantee you MFAM next year, you have to have an MFAM NFT. I can almost guarantee it. It's not even out yet. I can almost guarantee it. 100 Thieves, I was DMing Nate Shot. I'm like, Matt, please, bro, let me build this. Like, let me build a project for 100 Thieves. I said, give me like full reins. I will solve your issue with bots botting your merch drops, because they get botted to all hell.
Mm-hmm.
Put it on Web3. You have to have a 100 Thieves NFT in your wallet in order to connect to the website. So it's a private sale to holders. Is that drop going to get botted? Absolutely. Unless you know who to bring in to make sure it doesn't, right? Like, mm-hmm. So having connections with like all those different things is like something that I really want to try to put to use long-term. I think short-term right now has been more so focusing on like some of the NFT games that I've been getting into and like actually trying to build up some value. So I have these guys producing me cash nonstop, so I can kind of like focus on things without like being stressed out and stuff, right?
Totally. Totally. I think one of the things that is the most important there to realize from like a gamer's perspective, a viewer's perspective, especially somebody that's looking to like support creators and invest in people, is when you buy this stuff, like when you buy an NFT, it's not like a sub where like you pay money and then it just kind of like goes somewhere. Mm-hmm. And what you get back is like more of entertainment and enjoyment. When you buy an NFT, you're then holding something that has value, mm-hmm. that then can be sold for greater value, right? So it's not just what you get from the initial investment and then being able to like use it or hold it and gain benefits from whoever you bought it from, but you can at some point then sell it again and make more money than you started with. So that, yeah, to me is a game changer.
For sure. And I think like one of the easiest ways to put it into perspective for somebody is to take somebody like Nick Merckx or Ninja, like that have really broken above that threshold of just like, wow, those numbers are crazy. What they're doing is nuts. Like, they're innovating, they're moving forward in this space. But think about it. What if you bought a Ninja NFT 4 years ago? You know, there was a 5K collection, Ninja NFT, one of one little stupid looking ninjas or whatever, right? But that granted you access to his Discord, viewer games, like his brand as he grows and continues to go. You're like an early supporter, you're an early sponsor sort of. So instead of like a label company coming in and taking 80% from the artist or whatever, like there are people that are crowdfunding, but they get to hold on to something for crowdfunding, and then they get to sell it, like you said, if it goes up in value. So imagine spending, you know, 0.05 ETH for a Ninja NFT 4 years ago or whatever, right? With current prices, think with current prices, right? 0.05 ETH was like nothing back then. But when Ninja blows up on Fortnite and goes to, you know, 120K, he was averaging like 150K concurrent viewers for like a month straight. Like, that is almost unheard of. And that was like 8, 10, 12 hour streams. That was crazy, by the way. But you don't think that 0.05 that you spent back for these 5,000, this guy has 80 million plus unique views a day, isn't going to go for 50,000, 100,000? Like, people want to flex. They're the biggest Ninja NFT holder, like whatever it might be. That it's 100%. And I think once Twitch streamers start realizing that and understanding that, I think is when we kind of see a lot more of them transition in. And then hopefully Meta Advisors is at a more built point and is kind of like ready to roll and actually onboard and do those sorts of things. But yeah, it's a huge problem because a lot of them really don't even understand it. A lot of them are memeing and talking shit about it. And I'm like, I'm laughing because I know they're going to be reaching out, or whether it's me or to, you know, somebody else in the space,
right,
very shortly, once they understand, like, oh, okay, this is making sense. And the main thing that they don't understand yet either is they're not splitting their revenue 50-50. Twitch, fix your shit. Or if they're lucky enough to have the premium rate 70-30, like, they'll get 100% of the funds, except for however much they have to pay for a dev and, you know, whatever else it might be, the team, right? But they're also receiving royalties on every sale too. And once
once they
understand that, it is 100% a constant moving chain. Because if they're producing and they're putting out good content, there are going to be people that want to buy into their project or want to sell it. And that's going to be continual flow of cash. That's your monthly, you know, subs or whatever. And the thing is, like I said, once again, there's a lot of people out there with a lot of magic internet money that's worth a lot of money in fiat currency, and they have nothing better to do with it than go throw money at people that want to stream and play these crypto games and, you know, all buy their NFTs and become part of their families or their groups or their communities. And that's the thing. I'm not like, people are like, oh my God, crypto bear. And I'm like, oh my God, the best use case in the world for Ethereum is literally right here in front of our face. I was like, I don't think it's going anywhere, man. Like, I think we're going to see some kind of bumpy roads, but I think this year is going to be kind of freaking crazy for this space in general.
It's going to be nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I think people don't realize is the number of individual humans that are currently in crypto. We are the super ultra early adopters, right? We're not like day ones because, you know, we got like 2013 people are day ones, 2009 people are day ones, but we're pretty freaking early. Like, we're pretty freaking early, but there's no big money in this yet. Like, if you look at crypto as a whole, it is maybe, as of the streaming of this, a $2 trillion asset class. Right. Mm-hmm. That's a fart in the wind. Like, that is nothing. The second that real money can come into the space, and by the way, it's being prevented by a lack of consistent regulation from governments. And they're gonna take their time and they're gonna be fucking slow, but eventually they're gonna figure it out, right? And once they do, and they give the green light to big money to enter this space, What do people think is going to happen at that point when the market goes from a $2 trillion asset class to a $100 trillion asset class? Like, what do you think is going to happen at that point? Why would you not be spending every waking moment trying to figure out how to create and be a part of this space and like sink your teeth into this as hard as you possibly can? Like, that's what I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the right mindset to have. I think once you're able to get yourself in that mindset in this space, I think for longevity reasons, like, you're set and you're good. You understand kind of what needs to be done, the different flows of the markets and things of the sort. But it is also uber exciting too, just seeing the amount of innovation and growth. Shit, even in the last 3 months, you know, people say 1 week in the NFT space is like 1 year in like a regular market, which in all honesty, it really is. Like, that's not an exaggeration at all. It is a 24/7 thing. It is sometimes 3 a.m. I'm getting a notification or a phone call saying, hey, man, wake up. You got to join this Discord so you can get a whitelist or something, you know, like it's like that. But I love it. I love it. Playing RuneScape my entire life taught me how to kind of manage funds and manage money and like how to buy low, sell high, flipping digital goods. There was property, right? There was construction in RuneScape. There was the first ever unrevealed NFT. I'm still going to say it, the Christmas cracker, December 25th, 2001. And if you're not aware of it, by the way, they just came out with on-chain Christmas crackers on the 20th anniversary on Christmas this past year. I made sure I minted five. I don't think they're going to be worth anything right now, but I guarantee you in a few years, those are probably actually going to be worth some stuff because I know if I have a shit ton of ETH and there's Christmas crackers that I can hold on to or party hats and they're on chain, I'm going to buy them. Like that's just, I'm a nerd at heart and like, I don't care about magic internet money. Like I'm going to go buy them because that's what I want.
Of course.
I love it, man. The space is 24/7 though. So it can definitely be tiring and
totally.
A lot of people are like burning themselves out. And I think it's smart to kind of dabble in multiple different things, right? Like I'm starting to learn like Solidity and like how to read contracts and how to find exploits. And I'm also jumping in, trying to help projects before they release, testing on testnet. So I understand, you know, ways to go about it in a white hat and a black hat way, right? Like you have to be able to play both sides of the field in order to grow and progress. And at the same time too, like if you equip yourself with the skills in order to do that, and you're just interacting with an immutable contract on the blockchain, you know, that's the other thing too. The whole decentralization thing is like, I don't think it's right to like fry projects that have like reentry exploits and stuff. PX Mythics just had this happen to him the other day, but I jumped in with like a Discord DM with them. And right away, like there was 8 different people working on stuff, moving stuff around. PX Mythics like bounced back like instantaneously. They knew exactly what to do. So big shout out to them. That was like really reassuring from an investor standpoint, but also going in as like a community member standpoint too, where it's like, okay, how are they going to handle this? Because I was going to test that contract on testnet and then I had to go AFK. So I missed the test. And that was the single thing that I was going to try to test was re-entering after minting on whitelist and minting more and being able just to print them out nonstop, right? Because I know the price is higher if I mint and sell. Mm-hmm. I wasn't there to test it. Unfortunately, the next day, that's exactly what happened. But they bounced back. They killed it. But that comes from playing both sides of the fields and understanding how things work on this end and understanding how they work on this end. And like, how can you bring those together to like create secure contracts going forward? Like, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Hassan. Do you know Hassan?
Not yet.
So he sent a transaction. I think it was for like $500,000 on the Adidas drop. Or not ChefBob.eth is what he goes by. And he wrote a contract that was able to interact with the Adidas contract, was able to mint, transfer, nonstop for 330 of those Adidas tokens. Basically made like $600,000 in a matter of a couple minutes in coding up a contract. The best part about the contract that he creates though, and when he does this crazy swing moves, is he codes them all to self-destruct. So even though you can go back and track everything on the blockchain, the contract still self-destructs. So you can never go in and see what he actually does. But like, that's the sort of people that we need to have around. We need to have them on the good side or like be there ready to help. And he does exactly that. Like he's there to help projects and stuff. Like he will make sure that contract will not be exploited. Right. And these are the types of people that I'm trying to like connect with and like bring together, at least have like to reach out and say, hey man, Nate Shot from 100 Thieves, hit me up. Like, do you want to write a contract for 100 Thieves? Like, you think he's going to say no? Like, no, he's going to make a shit ton of money and he gets to put his name on 100 Thieves, which is going to be like, Nate Shot's doing a great job with 100 Thieves, but like one of the biggest esports orgs if they can continue with what they're doing, right? Mm-hmm. So that's fun, learning the ins and outs on both sides. But I sink a lot of my time into that. And like I said, I got to start jumping into content now and like forming videos and stuff. So I'm going to be jumping into that a lot.
Well, I think it's going to be really exciting when you do jump headfirst back into the content, because you know how that works. Like you understand at a fundamental level what it takes to build like a content empire and to build up a community and to work with people. So I think that'll be not only a really fun exercise for you personally, but also you're going to pave the way and show people a really good way to do it, which is also exciting to for those who study and really want to hone their craft and get the word out. I want to kind of jump for a second. I want to jump to esports and how that's going to be affected by NFTs. And I have a thesis here, and I want to kind of I want to have you just totally destroy this thesis if you know if it's wrong.
I'm ready.
Here's what I think is going to happen. I think we're going to see esports both remain consistent in it takes either extreme community building to get big from like a streamer perspective, or you have to be one of the best in the world. But also, I think esports is going to go to a place where, especially with play to earn, we're going to see groups of people who are casuals band together in like guilds, and as a squad, as a guild, go dominate a game or a series of games as like just an army of casuals. And I think we're going to see those kinds of three buckets there. And those are going to be the people that are going to dominate like esports 2.0 in the world of crypto gaming and NFTs. That's kind of my thesis here. It's very vague. So, you know, please, I would love to kind of get your opinion on that and what your thoughts.
Yeah, it's a great question because it really is a question right now of going forward is, will these esports organizations be relevant if they're not considered a guild going forward and, you know, already investing in moving portfolios into crypto? The reason why I say that is because we can take a look at like these Axie Infinity guilds and other gaming guilds for other, you know, DeFi kingdoms. And I know Treasure and the small marketplace, the Treasure marketplace with the small brains. And then you have Jumpman's Life NFT coming out on Treasure marketplace as well. You have all these different games and communities where guilds are going to come in and guilds are going to capitalize on the amount of money that's moving in here to where it's going to absolutely blow any sort of USD amount value that any of these organizations have ever seen before in their lives out of the water. I think there's going to be very few organizations that actually pivot correctly and get into crypto and get into guilds. And if I were to give you a list right now, I would say 100 Thieves, FaZe, NRG, TSM for sure, because they have FTX. Fuck, who else? I'm trying to think if there's anybody else on that list that would actually do it. CLG should be able to pivot. They have Madison Square Garden behind them. But I think a lot of these orgs are actually going to get wiped. And I used to feel so strong about esports and esports organizations going forward to the future. And I still think they'll do good. But I'm going to be brutally honest. I think the money in the market, and everybody's going to realize it, is going to be in crypto and in gaming guilds, because it's no longer just the best in the world making the money, or it's no longer just the funniest making the money. It's the introverted kids that never wanted to show their face on camera or never wanted to talk on a microphone, or like thought they were too nerdy or too math, you know, they would pay attention to math too much, or they would work on like numbers and analyze things too much. Like they didn't have confidence in themselves to like do things or put themselves out there, where like in crypto gaming, they can sit here, they can do this kind of like AFK gaming, or, you know, depending on which game you're playing, they don't have to put their face out there on the internet anymore. They don't have to put their voice out there on the internet anymore. They have their profile picture, their, you know, their favorite NFT right now that's popping, PFP NFT, excuse me. And they have their wallet address, right? Like there are internet social media anonymous celebrities being created based off of their PFPs and their wallet addresses or their .eth names. And people are creating these pseudonymous profiles, and they're able to be successful now, whereas they didn't have the opportunity to do that with YouTube or Twitch. They just didn't want to put themselves out there. And I think like the world really doesn't understand how much of a crazy digital shift we're going to have. And that shift is going to empower people that we never would have expected to come out with like life-changing shit. And I'm excited for it. Like I'm all for the good guys having a chance at winning. I'm all for, you know, the people like myself, man. Like I'm pretty introverted. Like I can talk to people and I can go to events and stuff, but I like to stay home and by myself in my room. Like, and I love seeing people like that, that were so lost in life and just felt like they were like, that nothing they were doing was really adding up or making sense, like all coming together now and actually understanding and like making it make sense. And they're building crazy shit every day.
That's right. That's absolutely right. So for the people who they're starting to realize this and they're like, oh my God, I don't have to put, like, I can just have this random, totally anonymous or as close to anonymous as you could be entity, like this idea, this whatever it is, it's like this amorphous random thing out there that accrues ridiculous amount of real world value that mm-hmm. could be spent, that could be built, that could be used as like it's your brand, it's your own personal brand, but it doesn't have to be personal anymore, and you can earn with it, you could go do things with it, like yeah. That's a miracle.
It is. And you know what's funny too is like I think about those kind of things and how it's already been used in real life. And people are like, what do you mean? Like, people haven't built brands anonymously in real life. And then you like, I'm like a dead mouse, although he's, you know, he's exposed his face and things of the sort. Or you look at Marshmello, right? Like, Marshmello said like he wanted to become like a worldwide known DJ and popular DJ, but he didn't want anybody to know who he actually was. Like, he just wanted to do it for the enjoyment and the love. Like, he didn't want the money, didn't want the fame or anything like that. And he did it there. He created Marshmello. I mean, I still don't know what the freaking dude looks like, right? Like, it's crazy. But it's the truth. You have people like Seed Phrase. I think Seed Phrase is like a DJ now, and he has his CryptoPunk as like his mask, kind of like those DJs do. Like, bro, I've thought about it in a couple of years. Like, I love music and I want to get into making music and stuff. And I was like, if I do it, I'm 100% launching it anonymously, and I'm going to have whatever, you know, popping NFT it is out. Like, bro, my orc, I'd put my orc on my head all day long. The orcs changed my freaking life. I'll put the orc on my head all day long and I'll be orc 950 or DJ 950 or whatever, you know? Like, but yeah, watching people be able to be somebody without having to be somebody is super powerful. And after like going through the trials and tribulations of like content creation and relevancy and up and down and stuff like that, like, I realized like I didn't really like being in the public eye that much, right? Like, I liked kind of just staying true to myself, and like, you know, it was nice to have people respect me, and it was nice to have people like want to do things with me, like whether it's collaborations or things of the sort. Like, that made me feel good, I'm not gonna lie, right? And anybody likes that. But like, I didn't want to be like, and that was CLG. Like, I didn't want to be all over the cameras and like doing content all the time. And like, I just wanted to play video games, man. Like, that's it. Right. And that's kind of like why I took a step back from CLG too, was I just wasn't a content driven person. I didn't want my face all over. I just wanted to like play and let my gameplay do the talking.
So, okay. This touches on the thing I wanted to talk about next, which is, do you think that with the optional, It's like you get to opt in with your face. You don't have to put it in there anymore. And if we remove our face, it's almost in a way allowing us to remove our ego from it. Do you think that when we're not like bound by social pressures of like, oh, if I do this thing and my face is attached to it and I mess up, then I'm fucked for the rest of my life? Like, people have that fear. Because we're removing that, do you think that it's going to allow us to be more creative and more expressive and to just fully let it out there and be weird and let the crazy shit go on? And as a result of that, we're going to see like this explosion of creativity that we've never seen before? Because that's what I think is going to happen.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, I've already started like an anonymous account and profile, right? Like, I'm on there saying whatever the fuck I want to say, whenever I want to say it. With like my main profile and stuff like that, like, I do want to present a good image going forward, right? Professional, methodical, the things that I look into are actually not like, are actually like good projects and innovative shit. And it's not like I'm being paid to shill shit. Like, I've never been paid a single time for anything I've ever tweeted about in this space once. I've had multiple people ask me to promote. I said, no, like I want my followers to know that when they're following me, information they're getting from me isn't just like engagement driving or farming or like bullshit or like taking 0.5 or taking an ETH for a tweet. Like, there's guys out there charging two ETH for a tweet to like literally sell out a shit collection, and then those guys end up just bouncing, right? And then right. and then it's left on the influencer, it's left on the person on Twitter, and it's like I don't want any of that to ever be on my name. So 100%, like being able to be anonymous and like kind of pull my ego out and just be like a normal person, because like I'll be honest, like I delete so many tweets a day on like my main account because I'm still trying to find that balance of like online kid shit poster and like professional almost 30-year-old that's trying to run a Web3 company, right?
Right.
And I'm trying to run it with like top dog clients and stuff too. So I have to be very careful. So yeah, being able to make an anonymous profile and still kind of be somebody, whether somebody wants to follow you for your information or, you know, the shit posting you do or the communities you're involved in, it's really nice to kind of turn the switch off sometimes and just be a normal person on social media, be bopping around or whatever.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It is so much fun to feel like you have complete and total freedom. And of course, people are going to take it too far. Like, oh, obviously, we'll take it too far. We'll do stupid shit. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, it'll come back to bite somebody sometime. And, you know, that just happens. But I like the idea of just the complete and total freedom to do whatever you want to do and be whoever you want to be without having to worry about the repercussions of what people might then associate to your brand. Because the brand is important. Like, it does matter. It's great to say, oh, I don't care about what people think about me, but like, is that really true? Does that actually happen? It's hard to escape that.
It is. And you had mentioned like branding with the image, and kind of like, that's what a lot of people have already done, right? Like, you have these Bored Apes they created these brands for these Bored Apes. They're getting signed to talent agencies. Like, they're in the Rolling Stones. Like, there are people that are switching to one of their popular NFTs as like their alter ego or as like their pseudonymous like username, and they're able to live this life of kind of just fuck it, be creative. You know, I'm no longer a software engineer that has 20 years of experience at Microsoft or, you know, whatever their title is. It's I'm shit poster on the internet with Bored Ape 5562, or, you know, so they start giving them names and stuff, and they actually start kind of creating like a story and stuff behind it, and it allows people to express themselves. And being that they have that profile picture, their expressions make a statement because they have status and they have importance. And we're going to continue to see that with other NFTs in the space as well, where obviously, I mean, look at Doodles. I still have the failed transaction, by the way. I canceled 0.7 for 5 of those because I just didn't want to spend it at the time.
Oh, that hurts.
It's just like, what, 2 months ago, man. Like, that's like that could have been in like $100,000, literally $100,000. And it's crazy to think about, but that just goes to show how quickly this space moves.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always opportunities. There's always time. Don't FOMO into shit you don't know about. I didn't know anything about Doodles. And that was like one of my rules is I stuck to it. I don't know anything about this. I'm not going to FOMO into it. That's why I canceled the transaction. Although I'm proud of myself for sticking true to my trading routine.
Still hurts.
It still hurts to look at the prices now. But at the end of the day, I'm fulfilled with knowing that I made a decision, I stuck with it, and you know what? Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, but I guarantee you that discipline will come in handy, right?
Oh yeah,
and I'll get it back for that. I'm not worried about it. Like, this space is going nowhere. Once I realize this space is only like, as stupid as it sounds, but this space really could only really go up from where we're at right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's true.
That's right.
So I was like, hey, I'm good. I'm not worried about it, man.
Totally. Absolutely. So I know we're getting kind of close to time here, and I mean, this has been so much fun. I feel like we could just chat for hours on this. I want to just kind of hit a couple of things. As you're coming from your background, such rich, rich experiences you've come from. You told me earlier to remind you about the importance of NFTs when it comes to gamers and streamers and the importance of that. Let's hit that now and really dive into that. I think kind of, and please correct me if I'm off track here, but I think where you're kind of going with that is at some point gamers and streamers will all realize how important this stuff is. And there will be like a paradigm shift where it's not like, oh, maybe I should go check this out. Maybe I could start dabbling. Like, what is this thing to like, oh no, this is how you do it. But I would love to hear kind of your thoughts on that and, what that rabbit hole you were starting to go down before.
For sure. A few points. Number one, I'm going to say crypto gaming, NFT gaming, GameFi, this entire world that they're trying to build out right now. Well, I think break the cool kids club or the popular kids in regards to content creators on Twitch, at least when it comes to live streaming. Because once you're kind of cemented at the top, you're kind of in there as long as you mingle with the same people nonstop. And no disrespect to any single person up there, they've all busted their ass to get there. And people do not understand the sacrifices those people have made in order to be in the position they're at, right?
Sure.
However, at the same time, Twitch's discoverability is absolute dog shit. And I emphasize that because I've spent so many years on the platform, not because I was trying to become a millionaire and become rich, but just because I enjoyed freaking playing video games and streaming to the world. And I was able to make a little bit of money here and there, you know, and it was great. And it kept me afloat and, you know, kind of kept me from working a 9-to-5 because I'd bartend on the sides and stuff. And it allowed me the time to really pursue like learning on my, like learning my end on my own, and gaming and just like chasing passions. Right. So I appreciated that. But I think it'll break that because the discoverability now is like who you are in the space in regards to like the moves you make, how you interact with people, how you treat with people, how you contribute to the actual growth of this space. And you don't necessarily need any sort of exposure promotions in order to do that. Right? Like people will notice your good work and people will start catching on. It's very easy to notice good work in this space. At least it is right now. I'm sure it'll get harder as it becomes more and more saturated, just like anything in the world.
Of course.
But there's going to be a lot more people that actually have an opportunity to make a name for themselves that may not have had the time, you know, a few months ago, a few years ago. A lot of these people, like, They started getting into Twitch 2017. I'd even say 2018. I bet they did like 2018, 2019, and then COVID hit. And then everyone's like, I'm a live streamer. You know, everyone from high school's hitting me up. Hey, man, how do I set this up? How do I do this? And I'm like, fuck you. I haven't talked to you in like 9 years. Shut up. Mm-hmm. You know, and like, that's just how it is. I'm not trying to be an asshole, but that's truly how it is. You know, don't come run into people that, you know, you treated like shit now that they're in the same thing we've been doing our entire life is now in demand, right?
If you don't starve with me, you can't eat with me.
Yeah. That's a good way of putting it. So people will be able to come forward with that lack of exposure, right? Another thing is majority of the esports contracts out there, even some of the tier one organizations that you guys are all familiar with, are absolute trash. Terrible. Majority of them 1099. So they don't even get benefits or anything of the sort like that. Shout out to CounterLogic Gaming, full-time employee, full benefits, paychecks, everything. And that's, I was very blessed with that organization. But majority of them out there are terrible contracts. Like the reason why these guys make money is either tournament money or stream money, right? Mm-hmm. They're not really making money off their contract. Majority of these guys are living on like $1,000, $1,500 a month payments from these organizations. And people don't realize, too, that esports orgs run on, like, very low margins. Like, they're not really profitable either. So it makes sense that they have to pay so low. But anyways, the point that I'm trying to get at is with NFT and crypto gaming and things of the sort, you get to now be paid for the time you're spending, right? You are accumulating in-game currency. You are accumulating in-game items. Those items no longer belong to the video game company that created them. They now belong to you because you spent the time to get them. And you can sell those as you go along and as you play, right? So when I spend $200 on Fortnite skins and I get 20,000 points in arena, I'm not getting a single V-Buck. I'm not getting anything, right? I'm not getting anything for my time at all. And I'm just throwing money at these people for all these crazy skins they're coming out with. Although the skins are dope, what good is that skin going to do for me when the game goes offline and is dead in 10 years or whatever it is, right?
Exactly.
And people don't understand that importance either. Like, that's really where the smart contracts and the actual token come into play. It's not about the picture. It's about the actual token and what you're holding, because you can trade it worldwide instantaneously with full 100% control of whatever assets you put your money into on any video game. And the best part is people will start catching on to the importance of assets being on chain soon. There's a lot of people that are unaware of on-chain versus off-chain NFT collections. I think when people start understanding that as well. But a good thing to bring up is Etherworks right now. They're the first like fully on-chain MMORPG. And I was a day one Etherork mentor, was there with all the boys. We suited up, we started playing the game. We created more Etherworks from staking on the blockchain, all that stuff. And we were really bullish on the devs and what they were trying to create, because we realized that this was so innovative. And this like was a first of its kind. Like, this is very like historical shit in regards to techie nerdy terms, right?
Right.
But if Etherworks ever goes offline, or development stops, or they run out of funding, or they run out of money, well, the community of 5,000, 7,000, 8,000 members, whatever, I promise you there's developers in there that will band together to bring their assets and the game back to life. And they can do it because everything is on chain and all the code for everything is open sourced, that the community can actually take over a project and bring it back to life and, you know, create other partnerships and things of the sort. Like, if it dies, it still has a chance at coming back if people want to actually build and bring it back. For example,
it lives on past the core team.
Absolutely. And I think the biggest or the best example I can use for that is RuneScape in 2006, 2007, old school RuneScape, right? They took old school RuneScape offline and transitioned into RuneScape 3. Completely different, like 3D model characters, just not RuneScape. Majority had left and quit the game. But what did they do? They started creating RuneScape private servers, and there were multiple different private servers popping up. I was playing RuneScape private servers because it was like old school RuneScape. I was playing that for years, and I would make money on the private servers. I would sell that money for real RuneScape 3 GP, and then I'd move the RuneScape 3 GP into Bitcoin and Bitcoin into USD. So I was playing RuneScape private servers to make money back in the day. And I'm just kidding. No, I wasn't. Real world trading was illegal. Never mind. But a community came together and they said, hey man, we missed this old game. We want to bring this back. But what they were doing was frowned upon, because like that was Web 2. You're not allowed to do that in Web 2. You can't take open source stuff and make it your own or whatever. So,
but now it's encouraged here.
Yeah, exactly. All these people that spent 10,000 hours on the game and you just take it away from them. It's like, what the fuck? Right. I paid $5 a month for the last 7 years and that's it. We're done. Okay. And that's why, I don't know if you know the reason, but one of the reasons Vitalik started working on Ethereum was because of the World of Warcraft devs like absolutely torching his account or like some of his assets or whatever. And he was like, fuck this. I'm building the blockchain where that can never happen again.
Well, thank God they did. I mean, I'm a little God, glad.
Yo, shout out WoW devs that absolutely torched Vitalik's account. Thank you.
That's hilarious. You know what I'm actually totally like unbelievably bullish on is this idea that I actually learned from the guys at the Forgotten Wizards Rune cult.
Mm-hmm.
And they...
That game's going to blow the fuck up, by the way. I'm so pissed that I missed that. I already know the money that's involved and like what's in there.
So I actually mispronounced it. Forgotten Runes Wizards Cult. The guys behind it, one of the guys, like the art guy who like wrote everything and is creating the Legendarium, is Elf. He's actually been on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Dude's a genius, right? And he taught me something about lore, not floor, where they have this idea of whoever holds the NFT, that is the wizard, their character essentially at the time, they can create their own lore that is attached to that NFT. So they're building in history and they're building in this amazing story behind this NFT as they're doing things. So not only is it things that they're writing and they're creating on their own of like, oh, there's all this lore that's added to the greater world of lore, and it's added to the on-chain history of who owns it. So yep. Imagine a world where you have like the top 500 players of a game, and they're like these legends of this game. Well, they may play with a skin in a game, and that skin may be one of 10,000, but this is skin number 974. And that belonged to gamer XYZ, who was the top gamer, you know, for 3 years, and then sold it to the number two gamer, who then became the number one. There's a history of all this.
Yep.
And that, to me, is going to be so unbelievably powerful and valuable as we go along. How do you see that playing in of like, it's not just the NFT, it's not just the scarcity, it's not just like the technology and the utility, but it's also the people and the history behind mm-hmm. it.
Oh, for sure. And I'm glad you brought that up. That's a huge point. Because I won a giveaway of a stoner cat from Gary V, probably about like a month and a half ago or something. And he had sent it to me. And now that NFT has history of Gary V owning this NFT and then Gary V giving it to me as like a gifting
That's
it
right.
to me, right? Like that is forever on the blockchain. Gary V handing over ownership to me for free or giving, like that's kind of status in itself.
Of course.
And it depends on what perspective you look at it, right? But in the NFT Web3 space, like that's a fucking status and a half, right? Like people are like, oh my God, bro. I had to sell it because I needed money for like moving liquid around, like just doing stuff, right? I needed liquid. Mm-hmm. And I have yet to go back and get it, but I'm going to try and go back and buy it. And I really hope whoever bought it isn't an asshole and like tries to hold on to it. Like, I'm like, bro, come on, bro. Like, let me get it back. But I'm chasing the history. And that's mm-hmm. funny too that you mentioned it is because anybody in the world globally ever will be able to follow that one specific NFT, that one token out of the trillions of tokens that are out there, gazillion tokens out there. You can follow the history on that and you can see Gary V give it to me. You can see me sell it to somebody else. And then you can see me come back in and buy the shit. And I guarantee you, I'm going to have to pay more money for it too.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But that's the beauty of it is we can see that and it adds a new dynamic. Like,
yeah, it's huge.
I'm obsessed with the idea of like in-game history. Imagine if, Let's say for RuneScape, right? Imagine you have two armies that are fighting each other. Like you go out into the PvP space, and I come AI more versus from Rod. WoW. Okay,
AI
okay.
versus Rod. I got you. I'm following.
Thank you. So two factions are battling it out, right? There should be NFT historical documentation of that battle. Because that is a historically significant event that happened in the game, and the history of all the massive moments in games, that's fascinating.
Oh yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Cool. That creates its own world. That makes it real. And NFTs are the way we do that. NFT documentation of history is how we do that. And so I'm waiting for games to realize we need like almost like in-game spectatorship. That's going around and like almost like an AI that's just looking for activity. And whenever there's activity, it like takes a snapshot and documents that and publishes that as an NFT to where it's like this really, really cool historical documentation of yeah. the game. Like, and this is just one use case that we're talking about now. That's like, that's going to be a multi-billion dollar project.
I think, yes, I agree with you on that. There's somebody that's doing something kind of similar to that in regards to history on an NFT. I'm not sure if you're familiar with who Nate Alex is.
No, but I'm going to become familiar.
So he just released a project a few days ago called Chain Faces Arena. And it was a like 26K collection at like 0.069 to mint and minted every single one of them out. He's a known figure in the NFT space. He's been around for a really long time. And the reason why everyone wanted to mint this collection is because Nate was taking an innovative approach and was pushing the boundaries a little bit more with what he's doing. He created a battle arena with these ASCII arts faces, and you could go in there, and there was a bounty of 669 ETH that he took from the mint proceeds, put it into the staking contract. And basically, while you were there, it was like 15-minute rounds. So after, you know, however many blocks had been processed, a new round would start. And every round you had like a 0.17 to a 0.18% chance of dying. at any time you could choose to lose or to leave the arena for whatever bounty price it was at the time. So like wow. 2 days ago, it was like 0.045. And you could have claimed 0.045 per an NFT that you owned in the battle arena. However, if that NFT died in the battle arena, it's gone forever. GG, rip your money. But at the same time, every round that you survive, you got a scar on your face. So there's multiple scars all over the face now. So you have this dude has lasted through 65 battles in the Chain Faces arena or something, right? Wow. And there's no way with number one, the amount of money he made, but number two, just like his name in the space. And number three, by the way, I was just looking at it like an hour ago. He just sold his one of his alien doodles to Steve Aoki for a cool like $900,000.
Oh my God.
So I think this dude's going to push it. So I had four of them. I put three of them in the arena. They're all dead now. So rip my money.
Rip.
But I did keep one because I'm like, there's got to be some use case because there's a shit ton of people that didn't put theirs into the arena, right? Because they're like, I don't want to lose this NFT that I paid for or whatever, you know, which I understand. But he pushed it forward. He's been innovative. And so it kind of goes along with the history of the NFT and like being able to kind of follow along with what happens or what it's happened to it. Why does it look like this? Or who had ownership of this, right? And the RuneScape sages, like, imagine Zezima, right? Imagine getting like, using Zezima's Abyssal Whip, or like to some people, there's different importances, or like getting Zezima's blue party hat or something. Like Zezima once used to own that. Now you own it, right? Like that's huge. That's the number one RuneScape player in the world.
Right.
Right. The status symbol, and people love that. People eat that shit up. And
exactly.
They're going to continue to do so as our lives continue to get more and more digitalized.
Of course. Absolutely. They are. Mm-hmm. It's so refreshing to like, to hear how far down the rabbit hole you are also, because sometimes I feel like I'm just kind of shouting at people and I'm like, pay attention. Like, why are you not seeing this? And then, you know, every once in a while you come across people that do and it's like, okay, you get it.
Yeah.
You know, cause I know I'm not crazy. We're not crazy.
I feel crazy, but I'm sitting there shouting at the top of my lungs to all my family, all my friends. Hey, man, one of my best friends, he took my advice and he came in and started trading with me on Discord. He's got every single small brain product or NFT that's come out so far because I said, get in this Discord and pay attention to that. 2 months ago, he drew a picture and got whitelisted for it. I handed him the Discord. That's now worth over $100,000. And that's part of the Magic ecosystem at the very start and beginning. Like,
you can sell that, reinvest it, and you're retired.
You literally, yeah, bro. I'm sell 50% of that. Put 50% in the Magic LP, follow it up with the 50% liquidity. And literally, I don't see how Magic and Treasure doesn't become one of the top fucking contenders over the next year, 2 years, 3 years, right? I have a lot riding on Magic right now in regards to the amount of money I have wrapped up in the Treasure project and Jumpman's Life NFT project and stuff. I got that airdrop to me, by the way. I bought an Origins NFT pass for 0.3 ETH 3.5 weeks ago. It's worth 2.88 ETH right now. And by owning this Origins NFT pass, not only am I getting a scholarship to a Solidity bootcamp within that Discord so I can learn how to code with hundreds of other people, I also got airdropped the Seed of Life from Jumpman's upcoming project. And when I first claimed it 3 days ago, I looked at it. It was 1.2 ETH.
Wow.
Just for owning it, because people already are like, holy shit, Jumpman's gonna build. He doesn't stop building. This guy, all he does is deliver value. So people are trying to jump into it. The next day, not even 24 hours later, I look, 2.5 ETH. And I was just like, I'm gonna completely forget that I even have this thing. I'm just gonna walk away from it. And
don't look.
I'm going to, because it's gonna farm Magic. It's going to farm Magic. And Magic's already at $4 a pop right now, right? And they're saying Magic potentially $10, $20 or whatever, which makes sense with the way that their marketplace is. So if I can farm Magic every day, I'm retired. I'm done. Like, I'm good. You're done. You know? How long does Magic stick around? Year, 2 years, forever? We don't know. But you're making a lot more money with shit that you got for free by being in crypto and investing and being your own bank instead of your money sitting in a bank where it's really not even there. It's just numbers. And the bank is making money on your money. People are going to catch on eventually. They'll catch on eventually. I'm crazy the way that I try to explain it to people. It's refreshing being able to talk to people that understand it, because yeah, like I said, there is zero chance that this does not become the norm in our life, right? Season tickets, they're gonna block off a section at a hockey game, sell 5,000 collection. The mint price is gonna be exactly the same. It's gonna be random. So you either get row 1 seat 1 or you get row 36 seat 5, right? But you all pay the same price. It's season tickets. If that team goes to the playoffs, guess what? You can get this, you sell your season tickets to somebody else that wants to have them. You're going to make money on your investment. You got to go to free season ticket games or whatever. The person that buys the playoffs, they get to go to the playoff games and enjoy it. And then at the very end, when the season's done, they're holding this NFT. Guess what? They're not stuck bag holding. They get snapshotted their wallet address, and then they get to go back and buy 2023 season tickets at that original mint price. So they get the value. They pay the money to go to the playoffs. They have the collectible. Is that the year that they went to the Stanley Cup playoffs? Did they win the Stanley Cup? Was there, somebody's first hat trick, whatever it is. It's a collectible item, but now you get to buy in at the original starting price next year as well. So it's, and the team gets royalties on every single sale. You think that they're not going to bite the bullet and take a lower upfront capital cost to not keep 5,000 fucking units of royalties moving nonstop?
That's right.
It's inevitable. That's coming. And then just wait till VR. Right. I'm going to be able to go to a Buffalo Bills game with my family. That's my dad's up in Minnesota. I'm here in Texas by putting on our VR glasses, and we'll be able to sit right next to each other in the stadium and like talk. And like, that's all coming. And people, when they see that, man, I'll applaud, I'll be happy for them. But until then, that's all I see. And I'm so fucking excited.
Me too. I'm pumped, dude. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. I want to be super respectful of your time. I know we've gone a little bit over.
Oh, you're good, man. No worries.
You're the absolute man. It's so nice to get to chat with you. And maybe before we leave, you could tell us a little bit about some of the projects that you're working on that you're the most excited about, and tell us how to go check them out and get involved with you.
For sure. So my main Twitter, you guys can follow along with anything that I do, is KP5. KP, the number 5, IVE. And on there in the bio, right now I have Meta Advisors and Doodle Orcs, two of the projects I'm currently working on. We touch base on Meta Advisors. I'll touch base on Doodle Orcs real quick. It was created as a derivative profile picture project off of Ether Orcs. There's like 100 Genesis Ether Orcs that created this actual project. And at first it was kind of like a meme of the derivatives, and we did it in like a bear NFT market in like mid-December. Kind of as like a joke, but then we decided that we wanted to create it as like a space for beginners and people that are new into the space that didn't have the education or didn't know how to gas war correctly or didn't know how to secure their stuff with hardware wallets and things of the sort. So I have a lot of friends, I have a lot of family like that have reached out, and I'm like, let's just create a Discord where people can come in at a really low cost. They get a cute profile picture, so they can become part of like an actual community. It's not just like an alpha cord pass, like, you know, like a little card. Like, it still embodies the PFP aspect of it, but instead of us like making crazy promises that are never going to be delivered, we're just going to provide information. So we'll have like financial services, tax services, real estate investing and mentorship, DeFi things, other chain projects. So like Solana coverage, we'll have NFT coverage, and of course the one of the best ones is like whitelisting collaborations with projects, being able to use our network and what we've built in the space. We'll be able to collaborate and connect with these projects to bring our community whitelists and further information on upcoming projects they might be interested in. So those two in the bio, and then I'll be creating like an NFT YouTube channel, and that'll just probably be kp5.eth. I think that's the easiest to go with there.
Right on. Well, I would encourage everybody to go check out everything you just said. It should all be, I think it's all linked on your Twitter, which is, in the title and description here. So it should be really, really easy for everyone to find. Again, KP5, thank you. You're the freaking man. Everybody who's watching and listening, y'all are also the mans and womans. So I will, so thank y'all for tuning in. I'll see y'all next time. Take care.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.